And again, we'll give a little bit of time for council to clear the room if they wish to do so, and for council in the next case to make themselves comfortable at the tables. Whenever you're ready to begin, Ms. Sutherland, you may do so.
Please the court. My name is Abigail Sutherland, and I represent the plaintiff appellant, Vision Warriors Church.
Can I ask you just adjust that microphone, bring it a little closer to you? We always record what we're doing, and we want to make sure it picks up your argument.
How is that? That
is better. Thank you so much.
I'm going to address dismissal of Vision Wars Arlupa claim first and then address a few points on summary judgment. The district court concluded that Vision Wars claim should be dismissed because, quote, Vision Warriors did not allege that defendant's actions would remove any possibility that Vision Warriors could continue to operate its ministry. Just a few months later, this court rejected such a narrow definition of substantial burden and clarified that whatever the term substantial burden means, it most assuredly does not mean complete, total, or inseparable burden. And in fact, a modified behavior can be enough.
Talking about tie mediation?
Yes, Your Honor. Under either standard, however, Vision Wars has very clearly alleged a substantial burden.
It is a faith-based ministry that operates a residential program for individuals recovering from addiction.
May I ask you a question? Would it be appropriate, as they did in Thai mediation, for this court to remand for the district court to consider this in the first instance rather than this court to consider whether or not there's a substantial burden analysis?
Yes, it would certainly be appropriate. And I know that in Thai Meditation Association, the court actually outlined several factors to give the district court a guide. Most of those factors are relevant here, certainly. There's a few that aren't because we're not seeking to relocate and purchase a new property. We're actually protesting the fact that we've been thrown off our current property after receiving zoning approval. But yes, Your Honor, you're right. So Vision Warriors very clearly alleged a substantial burden here. It operates a residential ministry. It began operating with zoning approval from the county, which the county later revoked, and then it has been told it cannot operate its residential ministry on this property or in any residential zoning district within the county. That is most certainly a substantial burden under this court standard. With regards to the grant of summary judgment to the county, the district court overlooked some material facts that actually demonstrate very strongly an unequal protection claim here and satisfy the elements of that claim. Those same facts also support intentional discrimination and reasonable accommodation claims under the Fair Housing Act and the ADA. Vision Wars originally presented Happy Acres as a similar to comparator. And as I'm sure this court knows, the district court had concerns regarding that similar comparator. I'll address that briefly. The district court's main concern is that maybe not all of the county officials who were involved in the decision here with regards to Vision Warriors knew about Happy Acres' use. There are disputed facts as far as who knew what and who knew how much.
However, what is clear here is that the zoning manager who was in charge of issuing a decision here with regards to Vision Warriors, when asked about Happy Acres, actually testified and explained that he would likely have classified Happy Acres as a dormitory. If that is true, that use would have been permitted by right, and Happy Acres would have been able to continue while Vision Warriors is being kicked off the property and banned altogether. There are, however, several other similar comparators that don't require the district court to dive in to the messy facts of Happy Acres. And those similar comparators are found in the zoning ordinance itself,
which can also be found in volume 4 of the appendix, beginning on page 97.
And that is a dormitory and a religious institution when operating an accessory use of a temporary shelter, as long as that temporary shelter is offered free of charge. So in essence, a temporary shelter
free of charge can operate on this property
through a permit process with the county. However, Vision Warriors,
who the county insists is a temporary shelter for zoning purposes,
cannot operate on this property. Apparently,
because it does not offer it free of charge. It requires financial accountability for some of its residents throughout the program. There's also the issue of the dormitory. At the time Vision Warriors purchased this property, dormitory was a use permitted by right, meaning there was no permission needed from the county in order to operate. What the district court missed here is that there is actually conflicting testimony by county officials regarding whether Vision Warriors is a dormitory or should be a dormitory, or whether it is a temporary shelter. For example, the zoning director for the county, Mr. Watkins, actually testified in his deposition that it was his opinion that Vision Warriors was most like a dormitory, not a temporary shelter.
Can I ask you a question? What is the precise accommodation that you're seeking here? I mean, do you require 55 residents and a woodworking shop and an automotive shop, warehouse, whatever? What is it exactly that you're seeking as far as the accommodation? And are you able to make do with less? Have you tried negotiating?
Well, Vision Warriors purchased the property with the understanding that it could operate up to 55. Most residential programs like Vision Warriors have found that something less than 55 actually works best for them. You need a large enough community where individuals can connect with one another and find accountability and companionship. But you also need to keep it small enough that there's community and a family-like feel. So to answer your question, we've never reached discussions with the county, and we've never really discussed in legal arguments what a reasonable accommodation would be. The county's argument is that four unrelated individuals, which is the definition of a family, is a reasonable accommodation and that is available to Vision Warriors. However, I'd like to point out that the zoning ordinance actually specifically excludes a nonprofit organization from operating under the definition of a family. And so that's not even a reasonable accommodation here. It's not even a possibility. And that is something the district court...
But if they're saying that they would authorize it, why wouldn't it be a possibility?
Well, it violates the zoning ordinance, one.
But if they're saying that they would do it as a reasonable accommodation, then why wouldn't it be a possibility?
Well, the evidence here, limiting the number to four would not be reasonable here. And as the evidence demonstrates, there's a lot that goes into operating this facility. The property is very large and contains four pre-existing buildings. The property's never been...
So the difference you have with them is what they want as the reasonable accommodation doesn't work for you, right?
Well, there are several residences on the property. So what the county is suggesting is that for the entire property, only four people can be housed on the entire property because they're not related.
I understand. I just want to make sure I'm getting your argument. They have proposed as a reasonable accommodation four people can live there. Your position is that won't do it for us because of the nature of the property, the nature of the program, et cetera, right?
They've argued
I wouldn't say that they've proposed that. They make the argument that that possibility is there, and then the zoning ordinance simply doesn't support that argument, and that's all the evidence presents.
Can I ask you another question pertaining to that? The four people who would be allowed to live in, I'm assuming, and I don't know if I remember seeing this in the record, that you have to have people there who live on the property as well in order to service the individuals who would be in the residential program.
That is correct. Vision Warriors typically has at least 2 to 3 staff on the property with the men.
Right. So again, it gets me back to, I understand now that the county's position is that the four people is a reasonable accommodation, but I still don't understand what you think would be a reasonable accommodation.
Well, a reasonable accommodation is one that would allow Vision Warriors to continue to make payments on the property.
But do you have suggestions? I mean, it's, you know, to house, it's kind of a touchy-feely, you know, enough individuals allow us to make payments. Like, what is that number? You know what I mean?
Yes. For Vision Warriors right now, the number is approximately 25 to 30. But I just want to clarify, I don't know that that's actually in the record, but if you're asking what is really the best number for Vision Warriors, it seems to be 25 to 30 people. There's a large church dormitory, which could house a lot more than that. They simply just don't house that many. And then there's a separate single-family residence on the property as well. So there is a lot of residential space on the property.
May I ask one more question?
Of course.
So going back to the number four that's been offered, or I don't know if it's been offered, but does that also then include the employees of Vision Warriors who would have to be living on the property?
It's a total of four. So what that would mean is 2 or 3 staff and 1 resident.
All right. So the 4 does not include 4 residential program individuals. It includes the people who would be living to service. I see. Okay.
That is correct, yes.
You said there are 4 structures, or at least 4 structures on the property, but I guess Happy Acres would preclude them the thought that there could be 4 in each structure. Is that correct?
Well, 2 of the structures are not really prepped for residential living. One is somewhat of an empty warehouse, which Happy Acres actually used to store and ship items to missionaries overseas. And then the other building is a detached garage building, which missionaries use to repair missionaries' cars. So there's only 2 buildings on the property that are actually suitable for residential living, which provide bathrooms and bedrooms and that sort of thing. Part of the necessity for Vision Warriors, though, and I just want to remind the court, is financial necessity. This is a nonprofit. They operate on a very small margin. The property obviously requires a lot of upkeep and costs related to that, and so there's a number that is required for Vision Warriors to be able to operate and stay afloat, and that's where that 25 or 30 number comes in.
All right, thank you, counsel, and you've reserved 3 minutes for rebuttal. We'll hear next from Ms. Davis.
Good morning. I'm Angela Davis, and together with my partner, Paul Fricke, we represent Cherokee County and the Cherokee County defendants.
We respectfully ask you to affirm the decision of the district court because there is no material issue of disputed fact and judgment is warranted as a matter of law for our clients.
Well, let me stop you there for a second because it seems that the district court may have done the same error that the district court judge did in time mediation where the ruling was based on the fact that there was no that it didn't completely prevent Vision Warriors from having services provided to individuals. Do you concede at this point after time mediation came out that is an incorrect standard for the district court judge to have applied?
No, Your Honor, I do not. And first of all, that is only with respect to the RLUIPA claim. I think you're talking about with respect to complete cessation of operations. And that was on the motion to dismiss order by the judge. And the judge noted specifically in its order, based on the pleadings, as he must on our standard motion for dismiss, that while there was not, and while we argued that they were not effectively precluded, and I understand now we might not have argued that after time mediation, but at the time we did. But the judge went on to say that Vision Warriors can still have worship services, can still conduct Bible studies, and can still even house a certain number of men, just not 55. So the court was clear in its order that they could continue all of these activities towards their religious exercise. And in fact, there's allegation.
But isn't this really, as it pertains to that claim, the district court judge did not do the proper analysis under Midrash. And so shouldn't this be something where we would send this back for the district court to do the proper analysis under Midrash?
Your Honor, if you believe the judge did not effectively analyze it, then yes, a remand could be appropriate. But we believe that the judge did effectively analyze it, the time mediation case did not exist at that time for him to apply that case.
I understand that, but your argument to the district court judge was under the was analyzing the case based on the initial presumption that it had to be a complete prevention. And that's not the correct standard.
But that was not what the court found. The court did not find they were completely prohibited. In fact, the court intuitively went beyond that, and the court's findings
I don't know that I agree with that, counsel, because in essence, what the district court judge did was say they're not completely prevented because they can do X, Y, and Z, which suggests that the analysis was based on the assumption that the standard was a complete prevention.
Well, Your Honor, but even under the tie mediation standard, the allegations in the complaint and the findings of the judge would still result in the same decision dismissing this claim, because there's no allegation in the complaint that overnight residence for 55 men was a religious precept for the organization. There's no allegation in the complaint that preventing 55 men from staying overnight is a substantial burden to religious exercise. So there's a complete gap and the religious exercise piece and staying overnight. And the judge got that. And I think that analysis, if read carefully, you'll see even in the absence of the tie case, that the judge applied a standard and went beyond that to find that there were indeed the ability to continue in the exercise of the religion such that it's not substantially burdened, and in fact under tie, not even a lesser standard where it was as unable to proceed in a very broad fashion. I would also like to note on that RLUIPA claim that it was not raised by Vision Warriors in its notice of appeal and was not raised as the statement of issues on appeal, and we have raised that as an issue that we believe it's waived and should not even be considered.
Can I ask you a question about sort of similar to what I was asking your friend on the other side there? Did you all ever try to negotiate with Vision Warriors?
Yes, Your Honor, we have.
And what did you do as far as trying to? I don't want the details
of
offers, but.
And we got a turn, but yes, we've consistently tried to negotiate a consent order literally for years, but the numbers of 55 to 4 is just a huge gap.
So just to make sure I understand, your immovable position is you can't have more than 4 people.
Well, Your Honor, I think there might be a bit of misunderstanding on that, and it could be our fault in part in the brief, but the ordinance itself allows for 4 unrelated individuals living together per parcel. Vision Warriors has 2 parcels, and we've shared this with them after
okay,
the decision.
Okay, so 8 people.
Yeah, after the decision, they said, well, what can we do? And we've shared that to them. That's not before the court, of course, but we've told them you can have 4 unrelated persons in the single-family home that's on the front parcel. You can have 4 unrelated persons on the single on the shelter piece that's on the back. And interestingly,
so I make sure I understand, has it been your immovable position then that you can't have more than 8 people on that parcel?
Well, Your Honor, in addition to the 8, the definition of family, which I have in front of me, does provide for domestic servants employed on the premises may be housed on the premises without being counted as separate members. And so there would be an opportunity to have 4 plus 4
plus some domestic servants. And again, we're talking about overnight. So they can certainly bring in, there's no limit to how many counselors they can bring in on a daily basis, how many people can come into services. We're talking about people who spend the night each night. They park the car.
Right, but part of their program is that it's residential, and that is what helps people to, to overcome
Correct.
The difficulties of their addictions. And so are you suggesting that these people, in addition to eight, would be living there as domestic servants?
Yes, that members of Vision Warriors, their staff, you could have domestic servants. I think probably if you have four people, more than one may not be reasonable. I mean, you certainly wouldn't have more than you have living there, but I think that would be a reasonable thing. The statute does not say how many domestic servants per household,
okay,
but
so,
it does provide for that.
So really, when you say you were negotiating, you don't really mean that you were talking about possibly expanding the limits that are in the zoning ordinance, right?
Actually, in negotiations, we did talk about a consent order that would expand beyond, at least pending the litigation. But that was never agreed upon because they would never get to anything that the county felt was realistically close. And, Your Honor, again, it's important that we have treated everybody the same. And that kind of goes back to more the discrimination claims. And before I do that, I want to say one more thing on this RLUIPA claim, if I could. Mindful of Judge Lacoa's concern about the standard that the judge applied, existing case law that has not been overturned or abandoned in the 11th Circuit makes clear that the limitation of a church to size and scope, particularly when it's a rule that applies to all in a like case, is not a substantial burden on the exercise of religion. And here it's not a ban. It's all about the numbers. It's a numbers game. And frankly, it's a business issue.
So let me just ask you. I mean, let me get back to what you said a moment ago. You said we've treated everybody the same. Hmm. I mean, it seems like Happy Acres might have been treated differently. I understand your position is we didn't know that Happy Acres was being allowed to have essentially a dormitory, missionaries, whatever, and run the auto body shop, et cetera. But that comes down to a factual determination of whether or not you guys actually knew, right?
Yes, Your Honor, and I think that's a critical point, and that's where I was going to start, because I think you can make this simple, because we have cross motions for summary judgment here, and that's not talked about. This court has held that when there's cross motions for summary judgment, it's probative of the fact that there's a non-existence of a factual issue. That's in the Georgia State Conference of NAACP versus Fayette County case. Here we have Vision Warriors saying there's no disputed fact to support their position that they were treated differently and that Happy Acres was a similarly situated comparator. On the other side, we have the county's motion for summary judgment agreeing there's no issue of dispute on a material fact issue, but it supports our position that they were treated the same and that Happy Acres is not a similar comparator. The district court importantly made that comparison, made a factual finding that we treated them the same, and in fact, very important factual findings that the county defendants did not know. That's in the district court order at pages 30 through 33.
Right, but here's the thing about that. It's on a motion for summary judgment. So there can't really be any factual findings, can there? I mean,
yes,
if they're disputed.
Well, Your Honor, we've both agreed there's no disputed facts. So they give a list of facts, we give a list of facts. Everybody agrees they're not disputed. What's critical is that none of it matters if they were treated the same. And that is a fact finding. And in this court's case, Bunding versus Town of Reddington Beach,
11th Circuit 2021 decision, the court was clear that on a motion for summary judgment, indeed you consider the legal issues de novo, but any finding of fact is reviewed for clear error. And these decisions by the district court that the county defendants did not know Happy Acres was using the property to house missionaries, the county defendants did not give permission to Happy Acres to house
people.
Right,
but those are based on legal conclusions, right? I mean, the undisputed facts are that was a county employee's name Lee who told them?
Ms. Lee, yes.
Right. So she clearly knew. There's no question she knew.
No, respectfully, I would disagree, because what the testimony is, and that is clear, is that she did not know. They came in and they presented her a set of facts, and regrettably, she did not review it. She did not investigate. She made the conclusion.
It was presented to her.
It was presented what Vision Warriors wanted to do. They shared what Happy Acres has been doing. And unfortunately, this employee assumed it was a grandfathered use. But importantly, she made the determination, as did her predecessor or successor, Michael Chapman, that this was a temporary shelter use. Ms. Lee said it's a temporary shelter, but it's an illegal, non-conforming use.
So right, from but the reason, but the reason was because it was a residential treatment or something like that, right? I mean, that's the underlying, that's the part where, that's the part of the response that she gives. You can continue using it this way as long as you don't use it as a residential treatment center or something to that effect.
Because those have to be licensed under the state. It's a different use. But Your Honor,
I understand, and I just want to explore it a little bit with you, right? I mean, and it may well be the case that it's not discrimination on that basis because they have to be licensed by the state. Mm-hmm.
But the fire marshal also knew, because the fire marshal would do inspections, correct, on Happy
Your
Acres
Honor, that
property?
That was the testimony of Ms. Young, who lived on the property and ran Happy Acres. But as the judge noted, the fact that we have a county employee in a county with 800 employees who might see something, might see some, you know, that does not equate to the knowledge of the county officials who are making the decision. The district court noted that and made that factual finding, again, pages 30 through 32 through 33, that we didn't know, we didn't give permission, that they're not similarly situated. And I believe those are all fact determinations that are due deference on a clear error standard. And in doing that, the court concluded that Happy Acres was not similarly situated, and indeed that we treated them the same. And the case law is very clear that irrespective of whether neighbors or even certain county officials may be biased, and I don't suggest there's any of that evidence here, but even if cases like Schwartz and His House Recovery say that's irrelevant and doesn't matter if they were treated the same. And the way they were treated the same here
before you do,
is
go,
that...
Before you go there, may I ask this? Are you saying that Ms. Lee's opinion, Mr. Chapman's opinion, the fire marshal's opinion, these are facts that were stipulated to essentially by both parties? Because you're saying that you are agreeing that the district court made fact-finding on
yes.
those issues.
Yes.
And what you're also saying is it's cross motions or summary judgment. So were each of those facts agreed to at the district court level by both
yes.
sides?
Yes. We don't refute that Ms. Lee made a decision. Ms. Lee's testimony is that she did no research and no evaluation, and had she known it was not grandfathered, she would have made a different decision. All of that's in the record. All of that is agreed to. Both parties are saying there's undisputed facts. What's important, though, is that they were treated the same. And if they're treated the same, it's not discrimination. And going back to 1982, when the Happy Acres sought to rezone this property to increase the density and to put eight little structures out there into house missionaries, the county said no. They denied it. That wasn't based upon drug recovery. Wasn't based upon disability. It was based upon it's not appropriate in this low-density residential district. Denied in 1982. Denied again when it comes to us. But what happened with Happy Acres is, unbeknownst to the county, they applied for a permit for a church. And if you look at all the permits, there's no notice. And that's what the judge determined at the district court level. And I believe that's a fact finding that should be given deference as clear error only on that standard. There's findings made the county did not know. And one employee knowing something does not equate to the county knowing something. So they were treated the same.
I totally agree. One employee knowing doesn't necessarily equate to the county knowing. But at what point does it? Like, how much had to be done to show that the county knew?
Well, the district court
made... Because there were a couple of county commissioners who were also in place at the time.
Well, all of the county commissioners noted that they had no idea. That was in every single elected official's testimony. But the district court noted that Ms. Lee made her decisions, that there might have been a fire marshal out there.
You make it seem like Ms. Lee is like some, low-level, rogue, low-level employee, but she's actually like the zoning administrator.
She was, but
okay.
She admitted she didn't do any review whatsoever. So how do you make a decision? This property's grandfathered.
Well, that may be the fact, but she's the zoning administrator, and then if she gives out a permit or an application, that knowledge has to be imputed to the county that I mean, she's not a low-level functionary.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, no, it doesn't. Under Corey Outdoor Advertising and that line of cases, that permit was void the minute she wrote it down on a piece of paper because it violated the ordinances. And she admits that in her deposition testimony, that had she done the investigation and determined it was not grandfathered, she did conclude it was an illegal use. She just thought it was illegal, non-conforming, or in other words, grandfathered. But she was wrong on that.
So let me just ask you something unrelated. Does Vision Warriors have any anything that it can do because it was told at the time that this was a permissible use and it purchased the property on that basis? Does it have any recourse at all, even if not in this particular case?
Your Honor, I don't think so. I mean, Corey Outdoor Advertising stands for that proposition that, you know, if a permit's issued in violation of an ordinance by a local government, it's void. Now, I haven't explored for them what their causes of actions might be, but anything brought in this case is not going to be an appropriate relief for them.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I think I have just to... No, I'm over. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you.
No worries. Ms. Sutherland, you have 3 minutes.
One of the material facts that was just simply overlooked by the district court that really addresses a lot of the claims in this case is that Vision Warriors was told, and the reason that this lawsuit ensued, Vision Warriors was told that it was a temporary shelter, that it couldn't operate a dormitory, and that it couldn't operate as a religious institution operating a temporary shelter free of charge, that it was instead a temporary shelter, and that it was banned from all residential zoning districts. As this litigation has evolved, the argument has evolved. And at some point, it was suggested, without citation to the record whatsoever, that Vision Warriors could operate as a family. But when you look at the record, and you look at the zoning ordinance, and you look at what the zoning ordinance says, which the county is very determined to apply when it comes to temporary shelter, is that Vision Warriors is a nonprofit organization, and it cannot operate as a single family home or dwelling. It's expressly excluded. This is not a numbers game.
It simply is not
a numbers game. It's about that Vision Warriors provides recovery to disabled individuals. If they were a dormitory, we wouldn't be discussing numbers. If they were a religious institution operating a temporary shelter, there's no maximum occupancy on those numbers as well. Now, through a permit process that's required under the ordinance, that discussion would arise, and at that point, we could discuss numbers. But the point is that right now, Vision Warriors is banned entirely. And under Fair Housing Act and ADA law, that in and of itself is a problem. That's one of the purposes that the law was enacted, was to prohibit the exclusion of residents like those that live at Vision Warriors from being excluded from neighborhoods and residential zoning districts. And that's precisely what you have here.
The argument you're making about VisionWorks being an organization and so therefore excluded, did you make that earlier than in your reply brief? I saw it in the reply brief, but I didn't see it before, but I may have overlooked it.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, it's certainly in the record. It's in the complaint. It's in legal arguments and statements of facts.
The argument actually didn't come up until the court on its own said, well, you know what? Actually, they can operate as a family. For four, that's a reasonable accommodation, which, again, the court just overlooked the definition and didn't read the full definition of family in the zoning ordinance. That's when we raised it, again, on appeal for this court's review. If there was any doubt as to whether Vision Warriors was given a fair process or whether there was arbitrariness in these decisions that were rendered, So additional material facts that were overlooked by the district court relate to comments that were made by county officials leading up to the vote on its zoning applications. And that was that Commissioner Johnston, ahead of both the initial hearing and the appellate hearing, assured neighbors, don't worry, I'm voting against Vision Warriors. If they want any remedy, they're going to have to go to the courts to seek it. And I think that's just yet another demonstration of the mountain that Vision Warriors was required to climb and completely prevented from ever succeeding. It was never given a fair process in the first place. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. All right, we will take it under advisement, and we will be in recess until tomorrow.